All right, well, welcome to the Viking Press Pass here. I'm Matthew Nickel, and joining me today from the baseball team, senior pitcher Cameron Miller. So, Cam, thanks for joining me.
Yeah, thank you for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, hey, let's start off. I want to kick things off and really talk about the thing that's, you know, I think unique to you, your pitching motion. So, you know, you're the easiest to spot in the bullpen. You know, anytime we talk about, you know, we're sitting in the press box, who's warming up, you know, it takes me about a split second to identify you. And there's really three people I can identify. It's you, Benderitis, and really Southwick. I think, you know, they probably have like the most, you know, unique motions. You know, you have that sidearm sweeping. I mean, you can see it right there. You know, I think it's a pretty cool shot. But you know, talk to me a little bit about, you know, your motion. Have you just naturally always thrown that way growing up, or was it something that you've kind of flirted with, you kind of grew into, you've said, you know, you were in between and you started to emphasize it? Like, just talk to me a little bit about that.
Yeah. So Little League, my coach always told me, like, you throw like a catcher, man. Like, I had a real short arm motion, like straight up here, like right behind the back, and would just kind of whip my arm through. And honestly, like, I don't know when it changed, but I got super like lanky with it, like super far out with my glove side, super far out with the leg, and then reached as far as I could back with my arm. So that's always been pretty funky. I'm not always throwing sidearm too. That's kind of the weird thing. I played 3 years at JUCO, and that third year I kind of started experimenting with it a little bit, like seeing how it, like the ball would move. I dropped the arm slot a little bit. And then, yeah, the third season went pretty good. And then when I got to Augie, I kind of dropped it a little bit more, and it, I mean, it's worked out pretty well. So, yeah.
Now, you know, have you noticed as you were kind of working through that progression, like, you know, did it feel like it was, you know, more or less on like a particular joint, like your shoulder, your elbow, anything like that?
Yeah. So that's another thing I tell people. It was like my second year at Sauk Valley. I was throwing a bullpen and I felt like it wasn't like a pop, but like I threw a pitch and I'm like, oh, that hurt. So then I got an MRI last year at Augie and I found out I have like a posterior labrum tear. So I think that might have been what it was. And my arm just kind of naturally dropped down. And I just kind of, you know, was like, well, I can either be done, kind of get surgery, or, you know, just find a new way to pitch. And you just got to kind of overcome, especially in baseball. So
I like it. Now, what do you think is like the hardest type of pitch to hit from your delivery?
I'd definitely say I throw a lot of sinkers. It depends how I kind of grip the ball to make it move different ways, to sink more or run more. But I'd say it's definitely funky to hit the sinker for sure. I don't want to say too much.
No, for sure. No, you know, because I remember, you know, I played shortstop and, you know, kind of the same thing, you know, when we were going into our the All-Stars, you know, I tried to make a little bit of a rotation, you know, at pitching, but I had kind of the same thing. Like I was pretty far out and, you know, I wasn't, you know, quite as flat as yours was, but you know, I had a ton of issues with like just control, you know, and kind of bringing it, you know, bringing it back around and trying to center it somewhere over the plate there. Cause I was either hitting the batter or I'm basically throwing it beyond the pitcher to the left. You know, so I just, you know, I just really struggled with it. And, you know, and do you feel like your throwing motion is more about like power or more like, you know, like lateral movement than it is maybe about placement?
Yeah, kind of. You hit the nail right in the head. I mean, I do hit a lot of guys, to be honest, but it's because of the low arm shot, the ball is moving like a lot more than other pitchers. So, I mean, if I miss, like, it's mostly at the batter, which kind of stinks. You can see a lot of hit by pitches, but I'd say I'm like focused more on like the location of the ball. I mean, I don't throw very hard. So, I mean, I'm just kind of focusing on, you know, getting the ball over the plate, moving it around, inside, outside type stuff.
Yeah. Well, they say though, with that, you know, coming in at a flatter delivery, it's harder for batters to identify a fastball, you know, earlier. So, you know, they can't really tell like where it's naturally dropping or where it's going to come in over the plate. So sometimes the identification, they say, is a little bit harder. So that's the other side, right? It's the other advantage, really of it. So, I'm just curious on, how that, if it was just, was it an injury that drove it or was it just, like when you're kids, right? I mean, growing up, it's like, we were going, we would always emulate every different stance and who threw like what.
Right.
And, then you kind of find something that maybe works for you, and then you just stick with it. So
that's kind of how it was. Yeah. I was like practicing one day and I just kind of dropped the arm slab for a pitch, threw a fastball and it moved like a lot. And I was like, oh, maybe I could do something with this. And I just kind of rode with it,
Yeah. Like it. Now, did you see, it made me think this past Monday, the Tennessee Vols softball pitcher, Carlin Pickens, she threw that 78 mile an hour, pitch was, collegiate record. Right. And, I was thinking, I was like, all right, so they throw from a 43-foot mound and they said like, it's equivalent to 100, like it was a 110 mile per hour fastball. So like, would you rather try and hit 110 mile an hour fastball or try and hit the pitch that she threw?
I don't even know. I'm probably taking the softball because, I mean, it's bigger and I play slow pitch softball. So I kind of got an advantage there. I don't think I'm touching 110. Not even close.
Yeah, that's crazy. And it looked so effortless, like ridiculous. So, I know I'm curious. I've been trying to connect with Emily Gadd from the softball team, and I think we're going to talk Monday. I wanted to kind of get some of the girls' opinions on that. And I'm curious, roughly what are they seeing, speed wise? I have no idea. I think they're down at Webster, I think, or wherever it is down in Florida today. Can't remember the name of the school, but anyway, so let's talk a little bit about like your role. So, we've had 16 different pitchers, take the mound this season for the Vikings. Now we really have probably, four primary starters. There's two additional that have a start under their belt. You've made, like it says there, 8 appearances this year. Where do you feel like maybe your role kind of fits into this rotation? I've seen you, probably primarily on the back end, closing out games. But how would you kind of describe your role in this rotation?
I'd say I've been used as a closer, like you said, kind of like the last inning. Down in Florida, I was came in the bottom of the ninth when we had 2 guys on. And then there's games where I've been first out of relief and go, 5 innings or whatever it is. Honestly, I just show up every day and I'm just ready to go. And whenever he sends me down there, I'll just kind of do my best, whenever needed.
Now, is it somewhat situational or based on the scenario, or, how do you kind of fit into that mix to a certain degree?
Yeah. So me and Addison kind of joke around with it sometimes. Like, if one guy gets on or like a couple guys, we kind of both start to like stretch out a little bit, get ready, because kind of we know we're going to go down there, whether it's an emergency or like just our guys got high pitch count, but we're both, ready to go whenever.
Yeah. Yeah, because I mean, you know, it's interesting, right? You know, because I keep track of, you know, for whenever I'm calling the games, going in, I track the original batting order, and then I track the pitching rotation, you know, just to see where folks are at. You know, I think is, you know, just a little bit interesting. It's like, you know, when we go from game to game, you know, like the Kalamazoo game, you know, I look at it and I say, man, Coach Wallace must have really wanted that game, you know, because of, you know, we were going after it, and you see, you know, Zach in there, Bendo was in there. You were in there, you know, I think we went through seven there to, you know, try and kind of, you know, hold on to that final lead there. But you know, then we go into something like Monmouth, and it's like, man, we went through, you know, quite a few pitchers there as well. But, you know, thinking about like Monmouth though, coming out of the Kalamazoo game into like a non-conference game for Monmouth, you know, looking at that, is that really more, you know, the perception of like an opportunity for some of our younger pitchers, you know, to get some experience? Is that, you know, kind of how maybe, you know, the team, you know, approached that game perhaps?
Yeah, definitely. They kind of told us it was going to be more of like a bullpen game. So I was pretty excited to kind of get some of the freshmen or guys that haven't thrown as much, get their feet wet, just kind of throw them out there and kind of, I don't want to say a low stress situation, but not like a CCIW tournament type thing, like bottom of the ninth. It's just kind of throwing them out there, see what they can do, get their feet wet, and then, yeah, see how they compete.
Well, it was good to see, you know, Buckaloo came in and he had three really good innings. You know, he really cooled him off in the, you know, third, fourth, and fifth. And, you know, it was, I mean, he had three strikeouts, which, you know, tied for his highest. I mean, he's just a sophomore. That's his longest outing. You know, so I think that was just a positive stretch for, you know, someone, you know, so early in their career. So that was pretty positive.
Yeah.
Now, you know, thinking back to you, like going into, you know, you're kind of put into those like tight, high stress situations. You know, Kalamazoo game's a great example. But you know, you're routinely kind of put into that, right? Where you've got, you know, potentially multiple runners on, we're trying to hold on to a lead, maybe one out. Talk to me a little bit about like your mindset. Is that something that you're like, you absolutely welcome and you like, you kind of thrive and want that challenge? Like you get up for that type of challenge. Like, how do you kind of mentally just like navigate those waters?
Yeah. So, I mean, it all kind of starts in the bullpen. Kind of try to think positive. Like I try not to think like, oh, what if I give up a home run, or what if I walk this guy, or what if I give up these amount of runs? I kind of just try to think like, you're going to do great. You're going to get the guys out, whatever it is, get out of this inning. And, yeah, I honestly, my mom hates it, but I love getting in those situations where it's like high pressure. I don't know. I just honestly love it. And I want to be in those games. Like the Kalamazoo game, I think it was bases loaded, no outs, winning run on second, got a double play. And then obviously gave up the hit to end it. But like, I love being in those situations, and I would do it every time if I could.
Yeah. And I mean, gosh, that the double play was awesome, you know, to, you know, McGinnis, you know, line drive to him, you know, and at the end of the day, it's like, you know, kid made a good hit. I mean, it is right. What it is. Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about the rust, Matt. I mean, you know, just more broadly, like talk a little bit about, you know, the games, just like the level of competition, kind of the format, the setup. You know, you're down there for 4 or 5 days. You know, just talk a little bit about that in general.
Yeah, so we played, I think at the beginning of the season, all four of those games in Florida were ranked teams. La Crosse was 13 when we played them. Ramapo was like, I don't know, top 20. And then St. Olaf is not ranked, but they're like really a very solid team. So Mercy running Olaf was great. Dak DeMarley went 8 scoreless, used one pitcher, which honestly helped us a lot for the rest of the trip there, not having to use guys. And then Ramapo just kind of got away from us, lost 1-0, like you saw. Then the lacrosse game, they're just a really solid team. They could hit pretty good. So, and then the Kalamazoo game obviously didn't go our way in the end, but I think it's really good for us to play those types of teams because those are the teams when we achieve our goals of the CSTAT-W championship, like moving on to the regionals, like those are the types of teams we're going to want to play. So kind of seeing how we compete with that like level of teams kind of gives us a good like analysis of where we're at as a team and like who we can compete with.
Yeah, 100%. Well, I was just earlier today, I was listening to there's the D3, it's a baseball podcast, and I'm like blanking on their name right now. But they were talking about the MIAC, and you know, specifically they were talking about, you know, each team in there, and you know, St. Olaf went like 17-2 in that last year or something like that.
Yeah.
And just, you know, how good of a team they are. And you know, and basically talked about the Russmat game and you know how we basically put it on them. But it's like the day before, you know, they had, you know, I think like back to back, like, you know, pretty strong games. I can't remember who it was they played exactly. But yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it's like, you know, you want to go down and play the best. It's a great opportunity early on. You know, looking at like Olaf, Ramapo, UW Lacrosse, Kalamazoo, like how would you compare that level of competition to like the CCIW?
Yeah, I think it's, we haven't played CCIW games obviously yet, but compared to like last year, I'd say all the teams we played in Florida was kind of like a Milliken or like a Illinois Wesleyan, like really solid teams, good pitching, good hitting. So like I said before, it's like facing those types of teams has I think it's set us up pretty well for the CCIW kind of be like, look, guys, we can compete with anybody. Like, so let's go take the conference, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what are your thoughts? You know, as you look ahead to the CCIW this year, you know, kind of any indication about, you know, who, you know, maybe who the team is eyeing in terms of, you know, who we're going to have to beat out, you know, either one to either host a tournament or two, you know, for the conference tournament.
Yeah, obviously the preseason rankings came out and they got Wesleyan above us. So, I mean, we kind of obviously want to beat them pretty well. But, like our coaches tell us every day, like the conference is up for grabs. Like just because we put the jersey on doesn't mean we're going to just roll over everybody. And we got to go out and get it. It's not going to just come to us just because, you know, we've had a good pass. So,
yeah. Well, and you know, I mean, open up against North Central, you know, tomorrow. And, you know, they beat, you know, was it University of Chicago. And, like, you know, they were supposed to be, you know, the cat's pajamas a little bit. And, you know, North Central beat them. But, you know, then you look at, you know, Carthage, you know, they were jumping all over. I think it was at Wheaton, you know, here. Was it earlier today or last night? So, yeah, it's like, you know, it's a lot of tough competition. You know, is Matt Ozanek still, I haven't looked, is Matt Ozanek still at North Park or is he just there for his?
We were just talked about that like an hour ago, actually. I've heard guys say that he is. And then I heard guys, some say that he's just doing the schooling part. So I guess we'll just figure out when to get up there, to be honest.
Yeah. I might have to message him. I haven't talked to him. So, I know I was connecting a little bit with Chase Mayfield cause I want to get him on here and talk to him. Cause he's up at, was it Judas? I think is the name of the Judson. School. Judson. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Well, you know, there, I was looking at, you know, quickly doing some research for this and, you know, I've been, I'll call this like my Ask Grok section, you know, of X. You know, it dug up some pretty good excerpts, you know, from the earlier Cam Miller days. Was it the Rockford Star or whatever it was? You know, it said like, you know, one of your greatest, you know, sports memories, you know, was, you know, you made that like a game changing double play during a regional championship game, you know, your junior year at Byron. You know, maybe like, you know, share with, you know, the folks that'll be watching this, like, what was that play, kind of what went through your mind and like the situation, talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, it was in the regional championship game. I think it was like bottom of the fifth, we're up 1-0, and I think I walked the first guy who got a hit or something. And then the next guy gets on, first and second, two outs, or one out. Ah, God, his high school was like 6 years ago, but
I know.
I threw the pitch, and he bunted it, and I kind of like flew off the mound, caught the ball, and then the guy in second kind of took off to third, but he didn't think I was going to catch it. So then threw it to second for the double play to get out of the inning. And then we ended up – the game actually ended up getting rained out, so I couldn't pitch the rest of the game. But we ended up winning the game. I think it was like 1-0. So that play kind of like saved our season, I would say.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah, I saw that. And then they had you must have took it with your phone, but like you were walking around outside, you know, and you're the video, and it's still out there. So, I got a chance to watch that, you know, young babyface Cam Miller. So, now, you know, the past couple of seasons at Augie, you know, do you have, you know, kind of a favorite memory, situation or play that, you know, kind of sticks out, you know, to you?
Okay, there's so many memories I could name, but I'd say one of my favorite plays was when we were playing North Central at home. And I struck out Luke Lennon with the tying run on third, I think. And that was when our season was like on the line, like we had to win out like the rest of conference. So getting that strikeout to end the game, I remember jumping up on the mound, just going crazy. The whole dugout was going crazy. So that was really, really good time to play.
That one, we won what, 8-9-8 or something like that?
Yeah, it was up. Yeah, it was up there. Yeah.
He's out playing in the XFL, so he's not going to be there, you know, tomorrow. So yeah. That's at least one less person to, you know, we'll have to deal with. Now, it also mentioned, you know, there was a blooper from your freshman year at Stillman Valley. I don't know if you care to share the details at all, but.
Yeah. Freshman year of high school, that was probably like 9 years ago now. But it was like Byron Stillman. Stillman's like a big rivalry of ours. So, I mean, there's a lot of people at this game. And, like, I remember I got on first and I went to, like, steal second and I just completely ate it. Like tripped and tumble rolled, barrel rolled, like face planted, and just looked like an idiot on second base. And like the whole, everyone was laughing. My coach was laughing at me. It's a fun time.
Just one of those. You just kind of like laugh off. You're probably like, thanks for bringing that up. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
It was pretty vague. So, you know, I was like, well, I got to at least ask. You know, it also noted though, you know, one of the things, you know, kind of during that pandemic, you know, was, you know, a shift in hobbies and, you know, moved to more like outdoors and fishing. So have you kind of stuck with fishing since you picked that up, or is kind of baseball kind of taking that over a little bit?
Yeah, I honestly haven't fished and it's been a long time. I wish I could more, but it's kind of like, in the summer, I'm just working a lot, and then when I'm off work, I just go lift. So it's kind of like I don't have as much time as I would want to go fishing. But when I'm done with baseball, I'm gonna golf and fish a lot.
So, there you go, relaxing.
Yeah,
a lot more relaxing. I was poking my head at, you know, your LinkedIn profile and you know, your bachelor's in what, psychology, is that right?
Yeah, correct.
So, afterwards, you know, what's the plan for, you know, post Augie, post baseball?
Yeah, so I'm going to start applying. I want to be a police officer or sheriff deputy in somewhere in the middle of Illinois. Probably the county I live in, I've gone on a lot of ride-alongs with them, and I think they'll be a good fit, so I'm going to definitely apply there. And probably some suburb areas, but I don't know if I want to work for Byron. There's like a population of 3,000. I don't really want to be sitting at a stop sign all day. So I want something a little more action packed than helping grandma get a cat out of a tree or something like that, you know?
Yeah. What the, did you have any, like, you know, any ride alongs that, you know, got a little bit more, I don't know, a little more fun than, you know, just kind of, you know, riding around?
Yeah, I got to do like a pursuit on one of them, chased down, guy took off from another cop and we had to like go try to intercept him and stuff like that. Went to a few calls. So, my mom doesn't like that either, but I mean, being on the ride alongs kind of makes me want to become a cop more than like deter me, you know?
Yeah. I mean, so what got you, you know, down that kind of career path?
I mean, it sounds like a joke and it's kind of funny, but like I always grew up and I loved watching cops. But like ever since then, I just kind of had like a passion for like helping others and like protecting people. And yeah, you know, just been always really interesting to me. And I don't really see myself doing anything else. No offense to like my dad, but I couldn't sit at an office all day or at a desk all day. He's an engineer, but I couldn't sit at a desk all day. So I want to be out, you know, doing stuff.
Well, it's, I mean, being involved in the community, I mean, you want to talk about, you know, impacting, you know, your community directly. And that's one of the best ways to do it.
Right.
You know, is being an officer. So, Lord knows we need more of them. So,
yeah.
Now, you know, growing up, like, did you enjoy, like, so you said you know, cops, did you enjoy like heist movies and those types of things as well? Or is it really more like just the cops?
Yeah, that's another thing I was going to say, like heist movies, like stuff like that. I've just always been interested in like war movies, like military type stuff, like undercover stuff like that. It's always been like, I've always been so interested in that. So it's pretty exciting being able to get starting that career soon.
Yeah. What's your favorite like cop movie?
I think it's called, it's like something Den. It's like a bank heist, and it just kind of like shows them going in and like, I forgot, Wolf's Den, something like that. I forgot what it's called, but
I think I know what you're talking. It's on Netflix, right?
Netflix one. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I'm trying to think of the actor. Same guy that played in the movie 300. God, my brother-in-law loves that movie. I haven't watched it yet. But yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. They just came out with a second one.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Well, you know, let's talk through, let's kind of go back a little bit to baseball, but let's have a little bit of fun here. So we're going to stay in baseball, but we're going to go to four highly curated movies that I pulled up. Now, if you could only keep one baseball movie, would it be Rookie of the Year, Bad News Bears, The Sandlot, or Little Big League?
If I'm going to be completely honest, like I don't watch that many movies. Like I know The Sandlot, but the other three, like, I don't think I've watched, to be honest with you.
Really?
So, I mean,
all right.
Yeah, like,
that's fair.
People make fun of me all the time, but, like, I just don't watch TV or, like, movies that much. Like, people look at me like I'm crazy, but I just, like, I don't know. So, I'm going to have to go with The Sandlot there because I've actually seen that one.
All right. Now, do you get a chance to watch much, like, you know, Major League Baseball at all, or?
That's another thing. I honestly, people are going to think I'm so weird, but like, I don't honestly follow it that much. Like, I keep up with it, you know, the big stuff, like playoffs. I watch a lot of playoffs, but like all the trading and stuff, I just don't honestly pay attention to. Like, I just enjoy playing it more than honestly watching it. So,
you know, this year was, you know, I'd been in this like, you know, pretty competitive, like, you know, it was a couple hundred bucks to buy in, you know, a fantasy baseball league each year. And it was just like, so, it was weekly lineups, but, you know, I mean, it was 16 teams and like, I mean, you're drafting and picking up, you know, people from the minors and, you know, so much to track. And finally this year I said, you know, guys, I'm out, you know, this is too much. 'Cause usually if like, you know, our first, you know, home game on that Sunday is usually the draft. And I'm usually picking sometimes starting around like the sixth inning, you know, so I, you know, usually have like my laptop there and I'm doing our draft while I'm calling the game. So I'm like, it gets to be absolutely too much. Now, 'cause I saw, you know, at one point, like, I think one of your favorite pitchers was Garrett Cole. So do you still Garrett Cole?
I do a little bit, not as much as I used to. I was really a big fan of him when he was on that like tear. He went like 22-0 or something like that with like 150 Ks, which was dominating the league. I really watched him then, but I don't follow it as much anymore.
Yeah. You know, baseball is one where, you know, it's like, it's such a long season. Like, you know, we start our season, absolutely love it. And then usually during the summer, you know, we're camping, my family's fishing a ton. We're big camp, you know, fish, you know, family. So, we're doing that all summer. And then, you know, as the playoffs and stuff are hitting, then football's taking off. And, you know, so it's one of those that's, it's a marathon, you know, certainly of a sport. So, lastly, you know, as a senior, you know, thinking back, you know, all your years, whether it's Sauk Valley, last couple of years at Augie, what's just a piece of advice you'd either give your younger self or maybe a freshman or sophomore, you know, that's on the team right now?
One thing that I always think about, kind of really hit me like my third year at Sauk, kind of realized it. It's like at the end of the day, people aren't going to really remember how many strikeouts you had this game or how many appearances you had in your career, how many strikeouts, how many wins, how many saves, whatever it is. But I think people are going to remember you as like, man, he was the best teammate. Like he was a great, great guy to be on the team, like always a team guy. So kind of like the past 3 years kind of stepped up my leadership. I just feel like I've been obviously focusing on the performance side of the baseball, but like whenever I can pick a guy up or like be a good teammate, be a good leader, you kind of got to take advantage of those because like I said, guys aren't going to remember, oh, how many hits did he have this game, but they're going to remember you as like a person. So that's my advice to some of the guys, younger guys on the team. It's like, don't beat yourself up so much about the baseball side of it, but also just kind of try to be a great teammate whenever you can.
So, that's a great piece of advice. And I think it's a great self-realization on your end. And, you know, when you noticed that, how did you notice your leadership change? Like did your style change a little bit? How you interacted, you know, change a little bit? Like, what did you notice, like just leadership wise, just change, you know, with you in particular?
Yeah, like my second year and first year at Sauk, every time I do bad, honestly, I would like kind of throw fits, like chuck my glove, be mad the rest of the day, kind of zone out, not be a good teammate. Honestly, probably sometimes pouted on the bench and was just not a great teammate. And I realized like my past 3 years, it's kind of, you know, it's not so much about your performance, but, you know, you just got to, when things go bad, you got to kind of be the leader and just like keep a level head and just try to be a good example for younger guys. 'Cause I mean, if you're the pitcher, you're like the attention of everyone. And if you're pouting and kind of making a fool of yourself, everyone else is kind of going to give that same energy, I think. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, who, freshman, sophomore, do you see as potentially, being, good future leaders, that are maybe starting to step up, in the bullpen side of things?
Yeah, I'd say you mentioned him earlier, Buckaloo. I think he's a great pitcher, and he actually sent out the idea. We had a team dinner last night. We're in Florida, and Buckaloo came out to me. He's like, "Hey, why don't we get a team dinner when we get back to Rock Island?" So we're like, "All right, let's do it." So we all brought some food over to the baseball house and had a good meal, and I thought that was a pretty good idea. So I like Buckaloo, Jeremy Bergeron. I think is a great one too. And then some of the freshmen, I'd definitely say Cameron Emmons and McGraw have been pretty good kind of faces of the freshman pitchers and staff.
I like it. Well, all good names to keep an eye on, and are, we see them pop up and jump on the mound occasionally too as well. So, well, Cam, I appreciate, jumping on here with me tonight this afternoon, and certainly good luck tomorrow up in Naperville as we kick off conference play at North Central. So but again, thanks for taking some time out of your day, you can hang out here. I'll kick this thing off and we'll circle back up here in a second, but again, appreciate you jumping on today.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me, appreciate it.